Good morning, everyone. My name is Rabbi Daniel Assor. We're here in Jerusalem by the grave of King David. We want to describe the conflict between Jewish and Christian, Judaism, Christianity, Judeo-Christian conflict. And we'll go along and explain our position, what we think about the conflict. Let's get inside and look at the place, and then we can start with the explanation. As we can see here a sarcophage right here, and this place, that was the place where King David took the Ark of the Covenant from Edom HaGitti, and he brought it here for 44 years. The Ark of the Covenant was here because the Temple of Jerusalem was not built yet. God didn't give a permission to King David to build the Temple of Jerusalem, despite the fact that he was seeking to build it. So therefore, the Ark of the Covenant was right here, and King David used to live in the tower, and he didn't want to build for his own a castle, because there is no building, there is no temple for the God of Israel. So he couldn't want, he didn't want to build for himself a castle a nice house as a king, because God of Israel have no temple yet. And so King David was the one that founded the concept, and he is the cornerstone, the concept of the temple. He was seeking, asking from God to build the temple, and God told him, you're not going to build a temple, your son's going to build a temple. So he was trying to gather gold and silver and diamonds and whatever, all treasures for the temple to be built in the future. And he wrote the book of Psalms in order for the Levite to read it before the altar while the sacrifice will take place in the temple of Israel, in the temple Jerusalem, when it will be built. Now, as we can see here, we can see huge big stones right here, and we are on the first floor. Huge stones. We're going to go even further, deeper, to see the rocks and the stones underneath to understand that it's from the era of the first temple, and even prior to the first temple, and it matches our tradition, Jewish tradition, that King David was buried here. And besides, when we look upper here, from over our head, take a look at this point where the huge big stones ended, and then a small little stones was built in the 1300 CE, which can provide us an information that a second floor was not built, was not in existence. It was built, the second floor was built 800 years ago, and the last upper room could not possibly be over our head, over King David's tomb. And besides, as we can see the place, people are coming here to daven, to pray, and we have here a little space in between the wall and the tomb, which was the entrance to the cave underneath of King David, and the city just covered it up recently, for 2 years or 3 years ago, and we saw how they covered it up. So let's go down underneath and see the huge stones that matches the rocks and the stones of the western wall to understand that the first floor was built in the era of the first temple, and the upper floor was not even in existence at that time, in the era of the second temple. As we can see, Right here, we can see the stones. They're just like the stones in the Western Wall. Very huge, big stones that can be a compellable evidence that the tomb of King David belonged to the era of the First Temple, or even prior to the First Temple of Jerusalem. And that's the right place for the tomb of King David. While when we look, when we saw upstairs, we saw right above, over the soldier, over the head, we saw a small little stones that was built in the 1300 CE, which is like 800 years ago, and couldn't possibly be the Last Supper room, because the Last Supper room was not existed in the time of the Second Temple of Jerusalem. All the archaeologists agree that there was no second floor above the tomb of King David, and therefore that's not the right place. Besides, we have to understand that according to the Jewish tradition, it's impossible to do the Last Supper over a grave in a cemetery. This area was a cemetery. This area was a grave of King David. You don't go as a Jew that's keeping the Jewish tradition taking a place inside a cemetery over the grave of King David. And we also have to understand that all the claims of Christianity, there is a conflict among Christians whether this place is the Last Supper room. For example, the Protestants are not coming here at all. They don't consider the Last Supper room as the right place. It's a big debate among themselves. And besides, if we want to really to understand what's going on there, we claim that they're trying to build a legend over our head. For example, they could have picked up any other place and claimed that it's the room of Last Supper room, but they Christianity chose, or the branches of Christianity that chose this place, they picked up very precise over the tomb of King David to claim that King David died like any other human being, and Jesus overtook him, and he rose erected from the death on his back, and he replaced him. So therefore, they need to pick up exactly this place. And again, they want to create another a legend of another new religion and overtake Judaism. And therefore, they want to claim that the New Testament emerged and was created, and the universal Church was created right here above the tomb of King David, because it symbolized the Ark of the Covenant that was here for 44 years, the Old Testament that, like, if it passed away and then the New Testament emerged over their head. So in order to create the legend, they had to pick up this place. But if we really want to know what's going on, then we have to dig into the theology of Christianity. And according to the theology of Christianity, we have the four Gospels: Matthew, Marcus, Lucas, John. John is the fourth Gospel. And he contradicts the Synoptic Gospel, which is Matthew, Marcus, Lucas. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Marcus, Lucas, claim that the Last Supper was Passover Seder. But then John contradict them and claim, no, it was the eve of Passover. Why is it that the Gospels, the fourth Gospels, which is the latest one, contradict the Synoptic Gospels? Because he was the last one, and he understood that if he want to claim that Jesus was the lamb of Passover, he had to, we as a Jew, according to our tradition, we have to sacrifice the lamb of Passover in the eve of Passover. So the Last Supper couldn't possibly be, so he must die in the eve of Passover. So it's impossible to claim that the Jewish people took someone to kill in the holiday. He understood, John understood that. And he understood that in order to claim that Jesus is the Lamb of Passover and he is a sacrifice of Passover, you have to go according to the Jewish tradition and to follow. So therefore, we have to understand, what is the Lamb of Passover? Well, according to the Jewish tradition, God took us out of Egypt and he told us, take the God of the Egyptian, which is the lamp of Passover. They used to worship the lamp. They used to worship Horus, which is the lamp. And Horus, it's the godson of the Egyptian. He was born in a virgin birth to Isis. And he was conceived in a miraculous way. And Isis got pregnant from Osiris, her brother, in a miraculous way. According to the Pharaoh's tradition, Set tear apart Osiris, and he took his body part and he threw it all over Egypt. And then Isis, his sister, was mourning. She was mourning over her brother, and then she was collecting his body part from all over, but she couldn't find certain parts. And then, according to nature, she couldn't even get pregnant out of him because she couldn't find the right parts for that. But a miracle occurred, and then Osiris resurrected from the death, and then she was conceived in a miraculous way. And she delivered in a virgin birth, Horus, which basically the entire story of Christianity is the Egyptian story. The Christianity, it's a stretch arm of the Egyptian culture, in different names, in different metaphor, and then they try to pour into the symbols of the Jews, which is Seder, Passover Seder, which is a very holy and sacred meal and tradition, to pour inside Egyptian concepts. And they're basically, again, they're over our head trying to take Judaism and to pour inside the Egyptian culture. That's Christianity for us. So therefore, the fight between the God of the Egyptian and God of Israel that took us out of Egypt continue nowadays. And we got to understand that that's what exactly the New Testament even claim in a stupid way, to take the God of the Egyptian, to claim that Jesus is the God of the Egyptian. That's what they're doing. The Gospel of John claimed that when Jesus was on the cross, a Roman soldier took a knife and he pierced him on his side, and blood and water came out of his side, but his bones were never to be broken. Why is it? Because according to the Jewish tradition, when we take the lamb of Passover, we're not allowed to break his bones. So in order to fulfill the prophecy, which is not even a prophecy, it's a command. Command, it's not a prophecy. But anyways, in order to fulfill the prophecy, that's what Christianity claimed, that's what the New Testament claimed, the Gospels of John, then the bones of Jesus was not broken. So clearly we see, according to the New Testament, Jesus symbolized the Osiris or Horus, the God of the Egyptian. And we got to understand that according to the Jewish tradition, we have to roast the lamb and not to cook it in order for the smell to spread all over the country. So the Egyptian will smell it, and then they'll remember that since the 10th of the month of Nisan, which is according to the horoscope, that's the lamp horoscope. And when the Egyptian came to the house of the Jews to take them to work on the field, then to enslave them in the morning, then they saw the lamb tied to the bed, and they thought that the Jewish people want to worship him, to worship the God of the Egyptian. But then, by the 14th day of Nisan, they had to slaughter the God of the Egyptian, to take the blood, to put it on the door, so not to fear the Egyptian, not to fear the God of the Egyptian and the influence of the stars, because we belong to God, we belong to Hashem, we're over the stars. Netzach, it's infinite of Israel. We're above the stars, we belong to Hashem. God told us, gave us a condition. You want to leave Egypt physically? Okay, so you have to leave Egypt spiritually, to leave their own God, not to believe in him, to slaughter him. When? Exactly in the middle of the month, when the moon is full, and when the sun is in Nisan month, and the influence of the stars of the land over the earth, planet earth, is the most stronger, when the Egyptian worshipping it, then at that time, don't fear him. Belong to me. Slaughter the God of the Egyptian. And then we have to do it, not to break his bones, because if the Egyptian will enter to our house after they saw the smell, and then they saw the blood at the door, and then they break the door and walk inside, they will be able to see a compelling evidence that it's not a steak of a cow or any other meat, but their own God. And if they come while we scale the lamb, then they will see a complete lamb. We're not allowed to cut him to portions or to, but a complete lamb. So they will see their own God on the fire. Why is it? We have to believe that because we don't believe in the God of the Egyptian, that's exactly why the miraculous of leaving Egypt from and leaving the exile and walking out of Egypt to the land of Israel will occur, the redemption will occur, because we don't believe in the God of the Egyptian. That's why we have to have our shoes on, we have to have our stick and our pack on our back when we eat the lamb of Passover, because we want to show the Egyptian that God is about to create a miracle, and because we don't believe in their own God, we are about to leave Egypt. God will create the miracle of leaving Egypt and from exile to redemption. Now, but what we see here is a try to create a legend, and to try to overtake Judaism, in many ways, by putting the room of the Last Supper right above the tomb of King David, symbolically, by using the most holy tradition, which is the Passover Seder, and pouring into it the Christian concept, which is even a paganic, because they do believe that when they drink the wine, they believe that it become the blood in their mouth, and literally, and they believe that when they eat the matzah, that's the flesh of Jesus, and then it become miraculously in their mouth as a flesh. So they're very basically a very cannibalistic, I'd say, a very paganic ritual that have nothing to do with the commands of the Torah, which basically not allow us to do such a thing. It's a contradiction to the Torah law. So therefore, if I would like to sum everything, then I would say there is a reason for it. In order to overtake another culture, you have to create a legend over their head. But we do know that the Vatican basically want to relocate the Vatican and bring it to the Mount of Zion, right here. Not the second Vatican, the first Vatican going to be here in order to rule the world and to create a world religion. And therefore, they have a that's a place for a conflict. Some Christian claims, no, we don't even... The fact that King David is burying here and you believe in it, it's also a legend. But that's not true. We do know that those Christians, denominations that coming here, are believing that King David is being buried here. But why mean? We know that because they asked from the Israeli government to give them 5 times a year the opportunity to enter to the tomb of King David, not to the upper floor, to the second floor, but to the tomb of King David, to what for? To do the niss inside. If they don't believe that King David is being buried here, they don't believe that the Jewish tradition that over 3,300 years is true, why is it that you are asking from the Israeli government and from the Israeli police to grab us out with our tefillin on our head in the middle of a shachrit davening, with the Sefer Torah opening, with our talit, by force, with insultment, and then allow all the priests or the bishops of the Greek Orthodox Greek Church and the Catholic Church to enter to the place and to do their own mass by the supervising of the Israeli police, the supervising of the Israeli government, because they do believe that it's not a legend. So why is it that they claim such a thing? Basically, they want to deceive the Israeli population. It's a conspiracy that the Vatican is trying, the Vatican is trying to deceive the population by financing the excavation of the archaeological excavation in the valley down there to claim that the city of King David is down there and not up here in the hill. But it's impossible that King David will protect the city of Jerusalem from underneath the valley. He must be a poor general to choose such a thing. He must, and we have a compellable evidence, that's the house of weapon, or a house of the heroes. When they put their weapon, we were able to find it archaeologically, and it's right here up the hill. It's not down there. And we were able to find out archaeologic founds here. For example, the tower of the walls of the first temple and the second temple that was circling this mountain. So this mountain was inside the walls, and in order to protect the city, you have to be inside the wall. You cannot be outside the wall. Besides, we know that King David was buried here, and the question is, according to the law of the Jews, we cannot inside the walls, we have to keep it clean, pure. So therefore, there was a tunnel underneath from the grave of King David to the river outside of the walls, which is a Shiloh, and to keep it clean. But where the place where Christianity claimed where Jesus was buried, the Golgotha place, it's just impossible place to bury at that time of the Second Temple, because it was inside the wall, and so it was very far from the second temple wall that circled the city. So, and there is no tunnel from that can take the unclean, unpure thing of the dead body out of the city. So it's a legend that Christianity was created. Besides, according to the rule, the governmental rule, the Christians are not allowed to do a misa, complete misa, which means with all the symbols to engrave on the floor a cross, to light up candles, to bring their icons of the cross of like in a height of a 4 meter or 2.5 meter, or to do the mass. They're allowed to sing. They don't have to do. They're not allowed to do a misa. But then they don't keep the rules. They do their misa. They light up a smell and all the ceremonies that we know that according to the rule and according to the status quo they're not allowed to do. They break the law here in the Last Supper Room. And even when they're allowed to enter to the King David tomb in the first floor just to mumble a prayer with their lips, they also do all the ceremonies with all their symbols, even though it's a synagogue, even though it's a Bet Medrash when we study Torah, even though it's the middle of a prayer of a Jewish prayer with a tefillin on our head and Sefer Torah open and with a big insultment by grabbing us outside from the tomb of King David so they can do their own ceremony and break the law and cannot claim anything because probably the Vatican have a lot of force and a lot of influence over the Israeli government, and they dictate which law to be applied and which one not to be applied. And probably it's being a selective application of the law, which is not for us, but probably more to appreciate the Vatican and the Orthodox Greek Church, rather than to appreciate the native Jewish people and their own tradition. That's a shame. As we can see here, we can see two sets of steps. The steps where the impure people used to walk down the steps, and after getting baptized, they used to climb the step, the other set of steps behind it, so they won't touch one another. And that's the place where King David used to get baptized to purify himself. A year ago, right here in this place, we can see here stones and rocks. This place was suddenly open, a hole was open underneath the wall. And right here we can see the walls of the German church. Nearby we have the Greek Orthodox Church. But then the priests and monks right away they came to cover it up so nobody will enter to that place, because right underneath the church there is a lot of rooms and treasures that King David buried. Solomon, king, didn't use them for the first temple when he built it, but he kept them for the third temple. Now, there was many people that were trying to enter to the cave in order to rob or for bad intention or to enter to the treasure places and to rob them. For example, Hodos, with his two guards, enter to rob the place, to take the treasure of King David, or where Solomon the king hide them. But King David made a swore with angels to protect the place, the third temple, so the angel will give the key to the Messiah, to the real Messiah, to build the third temple. So the two guards of Hodus die right inside, where two tongues of fire burned them up, and Hodus left the place, and since then he didn't come back to himself. He was, you know, kind of a terrified till the day he died. We have a lot of legends about the place. 120 years ago, when the Mandator Turkish used to rule the place, there was two painters, a father and his son, that used to paint for the Turkish government. And since it was a Muslim holiday, so they left them along and they decide to enter to the cave. When they enter, they saw a big, huge veil, and in writing, in Hebrew writing, was a big sign that said the graves of the kings of Judea. They saw the grave of Solomon, king, the grave of Hezekiah, the king, and the grave of King David. And they bent right away because they saw a big light, and they were sure that they're about to die, and they started to mumble prayers, and they were able to leave the place alive. We have that testimony of the painters that were giving to the big rabbis back then, and they took a draw of the place, exactly what they saw. So we have the evidence of the painters. We have also some other evidence of the people that were trying to enter, two priests that were trying to enter 800 years ago. And then when they enter, a big storm make them fall to the ground, and for 24 hours they lost their consciousness, and they were, you know, right there inside the cave on the floor. And after they woke up, they ran away, and they came to their high priest, and he went to Rabbi Avraham Constantin, he asked him, he told him what happened, and then Rabbi Avraham told them, okay, let's enter together a week from now and see what's going on underneath. So 24 hours after, those two monks that enter were found on their bed, the dead. So Rabbi Avraham figured, okay, it's not the will of God. So they shut down all the place, and there is no enter to the cave. As we can see the trees like bending to the king, King David that was buried right here. And so it's another phenomena that we can see it clear. But by the year 67, the Jewish people could not go to the Western Wall. They used to put here tent. That's the place where they used to build their tent in Chag HaShavuot, in Passover, and to stand here and to come and to daven by the Last Supper room, which was a synagogue. And I'd like to add one thing. UNESCO claimed that Mama Rachel, the tomb of Rachel is not a place. There is an Arab sheikh that buried there, and in Hebron, in the cave of Hebron of the fathers. No, that's not a real place, and the Jewish people have nothing to do with the Western Wall or the Mount of the Temple of Solomon. Of course, they will say so. They go with the New Age movement. They're going by the books of Ellis Bailey, which prioritize Lucifer over the God of Israel, over the God of the Bible. So therefore, they're trying to pull the carpet from underneath the Jewish people and their tradition, because there is a cultural fight. We are not impressed with UNESCO. They have no credit, and we don't really care what they say, because they're not entitled to contradict 3,300 years of history and tradition that we have here. We used to come, daven, pray through the thousands of years, through the era of the First Temple, Second Temple. We know our way. UNESCO, before UNESCO was created, King David and our fathers and our tradition used to be existed. I thank you for listening. As we can see here in the Mount of Zion, we can see the house of Hero, where they used to put the heroes that used to protect the city, used to put here their weapon. So we have an archaeologic evidence or proof that the city of David was here up the hill, like we expect from wise heroes, from a wise general, to protect the city from the height, not from the valley. And therefore we know that this place was the place of the real place of the real city of King David. Now, we know that we are not allowed to excavate here, but that's something that's supposed to raise questions. Why is it that nobody here, we can see stones just like in the Kotel, just like in the Western Wall? Why nobody come here to dig? What they're trying to hide, what they're trying to cover? They're trying to cover the truth. They're trying to convince us to go to the valley and to be convinced that the city of David is right there and not here, so they can take over. Besides, we have evidence that the walls of the first temple and the second temple were, you know, circling the mountain, and therefore, when therefore we know that the city of Zion is inside the walls to protect the city from within, and we have here the American University or American College that covering up another archaeological found, which is the tower of the two walls that meeting together from the south and from the west, and that and right in the middle was a tower, and we have that archaeological found right inside that American College, where it was built, right above it. So we do know for sure that that's the place. Now, here was the entrance to the city, the entrance to the cave, which filled up with a lot of sand now, and they have to dig inside to find that big entrance to the tomb to go to and to visit the real tomb of King David, inside the Zion Mountain. Unfortunately, we can see here a lot of cemeteries of the Greek Orthodox and the Catholic, and they want to be buried right here because, according to the legend, Jesus, he revealed himself, according to Luke and John, in Jerusalem. But that there is no evidence that it was here, like we told you. There is no specific place. And besides, there is a lot of contradictions between the tradition of the Christian. And I think that in order to sum all that, when the Christian tradition is so unclear, so obscure, cannot go and build a legend and insult some other people, a native people that live here, that inherit the blessing of the Bible, and they are ascendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and try to overtake their symbols and to pour inside a Christian oil, and to try to overtake Judaism with personifying the Jewish symbol and overtaking it and abusing it and converting it to Christianity. I thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoy my explanation here, and pay attention to the contradiction of the New Testament and the contradiction between the Christian tradition itself about the place.